Thank you for joining with us here this evening in Bethel Free Presbyterian Church in Enniskillen and County Fermanagh. Wherever you are listening in online, our prayer is that the Lord will bless you tonight through God's precious and holy word. If you're a believer in the Lord, may you be strengthened in your faith and drawn closer to the Lord, your Savior. But should you still be unsaved, our prayer is that even through God's word, that God will speak to your heart even tonight, and you would be made wise unto salvation. Can I just remind you again of the forthcoming announcements in connection with our congregation here. Friday morning at 11 o'clock is the open-air witness, the monthly meeting, open-air meeting in the Diamond in Enniskillen. Normally on a Saturday morning, but we've moved it this month just to the Friday morning. Do note the change and do pray for that. It's Friday morning at 11 a.m. And then here in the church building, Friday night, 6:30, is the weekly children's meeting, so do pray for that, make it known, and encourage the boys and girls in, and pray for Sister Gillian and those who help, that they'll know God's blessing upon them as they minister to the children. That'll then be followed at 8 o'clock here in the building as well with our youth fellowship meeting. We commend that to all the young people. We trust as many as possible will gather for that time of fellowship around God's Word. And then this forthcoming Lord's Day, that's the 13th of December, we'll be meeting here for public worship in the church building. Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m. The morning worship, 12 noon. The evening gospel service at 7. And in the will of the Lord, I belong to minister God's word. These are really all by way of necessary announcements. Before we come to God's word, we'll just unite our hearts together in prayer. Do pray the Lord will bless His Word and speak to our hearts, and indeed to many hearts tonight, through His Word and through His truth. Our loving God, our gracious Father in heaven, we gather, Lord, before Thee this evening, in and through our Savior's precious and worthy name. Father, we thank Thee afresh tonight for Christ, our Redeemer, the One who is the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Father, we thank Thee for the perfect life of Christ. We thank Thee for His death for sinners upon the cross. Lord, Thy word declares that Christ died for the ungodly. And Father, we thank Thee that we who once were afar off are now made nigh by the blood of Christ. And O God, our Father, we come to Thee tonight through Christ the Redeemer. We thank Thee and praise Thee for that blood of Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. And we pray for that fresh cleansing this evening, we pray. Create within us, Lord, that clean heart. Renew, Lord, within us that right spirit. And, O God, we pray tonight, wherever we are, gathered around Thy Word, that Thou, Lord, will pour out Thy Spirit upon us, that Thou, Lord, would still our hearts, O God, before Thee. And, Lord, our prayer would be that through the going forth of Thy Word, we would be drawn near to our Savior, that we would be conformed more and more to the image of Christ. And Lord, that we might be strengthened as Thy people in our most holy faith. Bless all who would gather and join with us tonight around the Word of God, wherever they might be. The Lord, meet them at the point of their need, we pray. Remember any listening in, Lord, that might be cold at heart. Give that restoring touch, we pray. For any, Lord, in true times of testing and trial, we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt strengthen them, O God, by Thy grace and power. Others who have suffered loss in recent times, comfort their hearts. Should there be any, Lord, listening in online on unsaved, Lord, speak to them. And we pray, Lord, that they might see their need as a sinner, lost and undone, before Thee, the holy God of heaven. And we, Father, we pray for conviction of sin and concern of soul. We pray, Lord, that by Thy grace and by Thy power, that they will come and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Remember all our families connected, Lord, with our congregation. Lord, bless each one of them at this time. Meet their every need. And do unite all our family circles in the Lord. We thank Thee, Lord, even in Thy will, that we can look forward to the reopening again of Thy house for public worship. And Father, we pray for Thy blessing upon the boys and girls as they gather on Friday night. Bless the youth fellowship meeting as well. Bless our young people and our children in the ways of the Lord. And again, Lord, for the open-air witness on Friday morning in the town as well, may Thy blessing be upon that, we ask. And Father, Lord, for the services here in the Lord's Day, the Sunday school, the Bible class, the morning and evening meeting. We pray that many may gather, Lord, to hear the word of God. And Father, we pray for help and power in the preaching of thy word. And that, Lord, thou wilt visit this house, O God, with salvation. Bless our land tonight. Remember, Lord, wherever thy word is faithfully preached and proclaimed, right across the length and breadth of our land and our nation. We thank thee, Lord, for the going forth of your word, be it on the radio, be it in drive-in meetings or online ministry. Wherever, Lord, we ask, bless every faithful servant of God. Lord, build thy church, extend thy kingdom, and prosper thy word, O God, in these days, we pray. Bless us now, we ask of thee. Close us in, Lord, with yourself. Give help, Lord, in the preaching of your word. We pray for that double portion of the Spirit of God. We pray for clarity of mind and plainness of speech. Give right words, O God, we pray, and apply thy word by thy Holy Spirit to every heart, O God, this night, who would listen to thy word, as thou alone would see that particular need, we pray. Lord, answer prayer, for we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory, giving thee thanks, O God, for all thy many mercies. Amen. Now we're turning tonight, please, in God's word for our Bible reading to the Old Testament book of Job. We're turning to Job chapter number 1. And I certainly encourage you, if you are, just to get out your own Bible and look up the passage and read along with us. And our prayer is that God will bless you through the word of God as we read it and consider it for a little while this evening. We're turning to the book of Job in the middle part of the Old Testament. Job chapter number 1. And we're reading there from the verse 1 of the chapter, just going down to the end of the verse number 12. Let us hear God's word as we read it together. It says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so, in the day of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, 'It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Whence comest thou?' Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it.' And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?' Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face.' The Lord said unto Satan, 'Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand.' So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord." Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 12, and our prayer is that God will bless this reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. And the text of Scripture I want us just to look at this evening and consider with you are the opening words there of verse number 10 of Job chapter 1, where it says, "Hast not thou made an hedge about him?" Now, these words really are a question that was put by Satan to God in regard to God's servant Job of old. In this chapter, you read of the godly character of Job. We also learn about his prosperity, but we also read about the malice
and the attack of Satan upon him. And in this malice, Satan insinuates before God that Job's piety was all of a mercenary spirit. He implies that Job was only living a godly life for what he could gain from God. And you see that in verses 9, 10, and 11 of the chapter, where it says, "Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." Now this charge against Job by Satan was a charge that was completely false. It must be said that Job was a godly man, one of the most godliest of characters that you can read about in the Bible. And he did not serve God for material gain. He did not serve God out of a mercenary spirit, so to speak. But my, he was a man who loved the Lord with his heart and with his soul, who owned the Lord, who knew the Lord. Thus this charge against him by Satan is completely false. However, it is true that God did set a hedge about Job. Yes, we can say that Satan was right whenever he said there in the opening words of verse 10, our text, "Hast thou not made a hedge about him?" And just as this was true with Job of old, so it is equally true for all God's redeemed people. Yes, God is one who makes a hedge around about his children. In the book of Zephaniah, the Lord there is speaking about his people, and this is what he says. He says, "For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire around about." And there the Lord speaks of being like a wall of fire, if you like, a hedge around about his people. We can say that the hymn writer referred to this same great truth whenever they speak of the Lord, and they said of the Lord, "He'll never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear." They knew that the Lord was a wall round about them, a hedge round about them. By this truth that God erects a hedge around his people, it reminds us of some very important and very encouraging lessons for the people of God. And it is those lessons I want just to share with you this evening. First of all, I want you to notice here that God's hedge around about his people, it reminds us that his people are very precious to the Lord. Yes, the very fact here that God put a hedge about Job, it shows that Job was precious to the Lord, that Job was dear unto the Lord. And it is the same of all God's people. Yes, God puts a hedge around about all of our lives who are saved. Why? Because every one of us who are saved are precious to the Lord. We're dear to the Lord. We are valuable to the Lord. You think about the crown jewels over in London. They are under guard. They are under protection. Why? Because they are valuable. Because they are very precious. And likewise, God is one who guards his people. He puts a hedge around about his people as he did here with Job of old. And it is because they are precious to him. The book of Lamentations, chapter 4, in the verse number 2, there we read of God's people. And this is what it says. It says, "The precious sons of Zion, comparable to fine gold." There we see that God's people are precious to the Lord, that they are likened unto fine gold. And fine gold is gold of the greatest value, of the greatest worth. And likewise, believer, understand this, remember this, that you too are of great worth, great value to the Lord. You are precious to the Lord. Turn with me in your Bible over to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter number 43, and to the verse number 4. And here you find the Lord is speaking to his ancient people. And I want you to notice what he says in Isaiah chapter 43 in the verse number 4. He says, "Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. And you'll see there that in that verse, the Lord there, he promises to defend his people, to protect them. And the reason for that defense, the reason for that protection is because they are precious to him. They are valuable. They are his treasure. They are precious in his sight. And it is indeed because he loves his people. The Bible tells us how the Lord loves each and every one of his people with a love that passeth knowledge. Child of God, remember this truth tonight. Let it dwell richly in your heart and in your soul. Yes, the world believer and the devil and the devil's crowd may laugh at you. They may mock you. They may attack you as a Christian. But always remember this, Christian believer. You are precious to the Lord. And you're so precious to the Lord that he says in his word that he loves you with a love that passeth all understanding. And my, you're so precious to the Lord that God sent his only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world to save you and to redeem you from your sins. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The fact that God sent his Son to die on the cross, to shed his blood, believer, for your redemption, it proves to you that you are precious to the Lord. Also, dear Christian, you're precious to the Lord because his whole pleasure and his delight is upon you. It says in Psalm 147, in the verse number 11, it says there, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. And there you see that the Lord's pleasure and delight is upon his people. One of the names given to the Lord's people in the Old Testament is the title of Hephzibah, which really means my delight is in her. And how the Lord delights in his people. And child of God, you are so precious to the Lord that he puts a hedge around about your life. As it says here in this text tonight, hast not thou put an hedge about him? Child of God, this is true of your life. And this is true of my life. Yes, God's hedge around about his people, it reminds us, yes, that every one of his people, every child of God is precious and dear to the Lord. Then the second thing to notice here is that God's hedge around about his people, it reminds us that his people, yes, are liable to danger. And they are liable to injury. Yes, Job here in this situation where he's found in Job chapter 1 was liable to danger. He was liable to injury from the world. Yes, from the flesh and from the devil. Indeed, on account of that particular danger, God makes a hedge around about him. And it is indeed the same of all God's people. God is one who puts a hedge around about all our lives. So we too are liable to danger. We too are liable to injury. You think of a farmer whenever he plants an orchard out in his field. One of the things that he will do is plant a hedge, or if you like, a shelter belt around that orchard. And what's the purpose of that? It is to protect the fruit trees from the elements, the wind and the rain, and from injury and damage by beasts and by livestock. Thus he puts a hedge around about his orchard to protect it from injury and from harm. And likewise, child of God, you and I also need our way hedged up by God, because when we're saved and living in this ungodly world, we're liable, yes, to peril, to injury, to danger. Yes, when you are saved, you become the devil's number one target. The devil is out to attack the people of God and the church of Christ. The psalmist spoke of that in his own life. In Psalm 3, verse 1, he says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble my soul? Many they are that rise up against me. He knew the attack of the enemy upon him. You remember what the Lord said to his disciples in the Gospel of John. He says, in the world ye shall have tribulation. If you turn with me in your Bible over to the New Testament book of Ephesians chapter number 6. On the latter part there of Ephesians chapter 6, it all deals with the Christian armor, the Christian putting on the whole armor of God. Why? Because of the attack of the world, the flesh, and the devil upon the Christian. And look at what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6 and the verses 11 and 12. He says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." That speaks of the strategy, the attacks of the evil one upon the Christian. Look at verse number 12. Paul says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against," notice it, "spiritual wickednesses in high places." Nearly speaking of the forces of darkness being arrayed against the child of God, against the Christian. Believer in Christ, as you and I travel through this world to heaven, we must remember that we're traveling through the territory of the enemy. We're just like a soldier in wartime behind enemy lines. Why, the devil is always out to attack the Christian. You remember what the Lord said to Peter? He says, "Satan have desired to sift you as wheat." And that was really warning Peter of this attack of the devil upon him. Now, David was one who realized that this world was no friend to grace. For in Psalm 23 he says, "To the Lord thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." His enemies were all around him, and they were ready to pounce upon him, to strike. And no doubt they were being spurred on by the devil. The handwriter realized this, for they said, "Is this vile world a friend to grace, to help me on to God?" Of course, the answer to that question is no. Child of God, yes, in this world, your enemies, yes, may be numerous. They may be malicious. They may be subtle. They may be powerful indeed. You and I, yes, left to ourselves, our enemies would soon overcome us. We have no might of our own to fight against them. The Bible tells us that vain is the help of man. But praise God, we can confide in God's hedge around about us. As it says here in our text, "Hast not thou made an hedge about him?" Why does God make a hedge around about you and I and God's people? Because he sees the danger that approaches us as the people of God. And my, with confidence, we can rest upon God's hedge round about us. We can say with the psalmist that our help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Yes, this hedge reminds us of danger. It reminds us, yes, that we are precious to the Lord. But one final thought here, and it is simply this, that God's hedge around about his people, it reminds us that his people are safe whatever evil comes their way. Our text says here, "Hast not thou made a hedge about him?" God's hedge about Job and indeed about all his people, it's an effectual hedge. It's a hedge that gives protection. Yes, Job was a man who suffered many trials. The trials that came his way, they were only those that God permitted. And it's important to see this. Satan, with all his malice and Satan, with all his scheming, was not allowed to go past God's boundary that God himself had set around Job's life. Look at verse number 12 of Job chapter 1. Notice what it says there. It says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there you see how Satan could go so far, but he could go no further. Yes, Satan was powerful. He was a powerful foe, yes, against Job. But God is all powerful, and God is almighty. And God there, he speaks to Satan. He says, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." The devil could go so far in his attack against Job, and he could go no further. And brethren and sisters in Christ, yes, you and I, we may face many trials in life. Yes, the devil may try to sift us as wheat, but whatever Satan's devices may be, he cannot break through God's hedge around about our life. You remember what the Lord says in the Gospel of Luke to God's people. He says, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. In other words, reminding the believer of God's protection about them. The child of God, the devil can only attack you as far as God allows, as far as God permits. The Bible says the angel of God encampeth round about them that fear him and deliver of them. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 10, it speaks of God's people, and it says of the Lord, he kept them as the apple of his eye. It says in Psalm 121, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And this keeping of God not only affects ourselves, but you'll see here from the passage that it reaches out to our estate, our business, our dwelling place, our family, our testimony. Yes, our body and our soul. Look at verse number 10. It says, hast not thou made an hedge about him? And notice these words, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. And that really shows that God had put a hedge around about everything that concerned Job at that particular time. And so it is with you and I who are saved. God's hedge affects every part, every avenue, every detail of our lives, and all that concerns us. No doubt it was for that particular reason, the Lord's care, the Lord's protection, the Lord's hedge, that the hymn writer could say, be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. Christian, that's a truth to confide in these days. God will take care of you. The hymn writer says, God is still on the throne and he will remember his own. It was John Knox who said, a man with God on his side is always on them in the majority. In other words, God watches over his own. He protects his own. Child of God, this is something to confide in day by day as you seek to live for Christ in this ungodly world. What does this safety mean, child of God? It means this, that you and I can serve the Lord wherever he leads us, wherever he calls us to in his will. Turn with me in your Bible back to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter number 1 and the verse number 5. You look at this great promise here that the Lord gave to Joshua. No doubt he was fearful about taking over the leadership of Israel after Moses as they were on the verge of entering into the promised land. But God gave him this wonderful promise. He says in verse 5 of Joshua chapter 1, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Notice the promise. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And dear Christian, wherever the Lord calls you to serve him, he will not fail you. He will not forsake you. Also, the safety of the Lord means that you and I as Christians, we are immortal until our work for God on earth is done. We are immortal till that work that God gives us to do is done and finished and completed. The Bible shows you and I that. It teaches us that. Turn over to the book of Job chapter 14 and to the verse number 5. You'll see this from what is said there in Job chapter 14 and the verse number 5. Here Job is speaking to God about man, and look at what he says about him. He says, seeing his days are determined, in other words, determined by God, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. And another part of the scriptures in Psalm 31, the psalmist could say to the Lord, my times are in thy hand. Because of this hedge around about us and the safety it brings, it means this, dear Christian, you are immortal until your work on earth, to the work that God has given you to do. Until that work is finished, until that work is complete. This safety of the Lord, it also means that God is one who will protect us and all that concerns us. And turn over to Psalm 91. Psalm 91 and look at the verse number 10. Look at the wonderful promise there. This is known as the soldier psalm, one that soldiers in a bygone day often depended upon as they went out to battle. And it says in verse number 10, it says, "There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." How we can depend upon the Lord to protect us in all that concerns us, our homes and our families day by day. But this safety of the Lord and this hedge round about us from the Lord, it also means this, dear Christian, that no trial can come our way outside of God's permissive will for our lives. No trial can come our way outside of the permissive will of God. What does it say in Psalm 37, verse 23? It says there, the steps, in other words, the life, the walk, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. This safety from the Lord, and because of this hedge round about us, it also means this, dear Christian, that when God does allow trials to come our way, it is always for our good. It is always for our blessing. Job was to go through a great trial in his life, and that's what the whole book of Job is all about. But God brought him through, and God blessed him, and God used him for his honor and glory. In the midst of that trial, Job could say of the Lord, "When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Turn with me in your Bible, please, over to the book of Romans, Romans chapter number 8. And look at this promise to the people of God. It says in verse 28 of Romans 8, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Yes, Christian, you may be living for God, walking with God, surrendered up to God, doing the will of God, and trials may come your way. Then you might ask the question, why? Why me? Why my home? Why my family? Why that concerns me as a Christian? Well, here's the answer. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good." These things, these trials come our way for our good, for our spiritual refinement, that we might be conformed more and more to the image of Christ, that we might lean more and more upon Christ and surrender more and more to God and to his will for our lives. Always remember this, dear Christian, when trials press in upon you in your life as a believer. Then we can also say that the safety from the Lord and from his hedge round about us, it means this, dear Christian, that your salvation is sure. Your salvation is guaranteed. You who are redeemed by the blood of Christ. Yes, the winds may blow, the devil may attack, but when you're redeemed by the blood of Christ, your salvation is sure. Your salvation is guaranteed. Turn with me in your Bible over to 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Look with me, please, at the verse number 5. And look at what it says about the Christian, the believer, the person who is born again of the Spirit of God, redeemed through the blood of Christ. It says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, "Who are kept," notice it, "by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." We're saved and we are kept by the power of God. Turn over to the little book of Jude, just before the last book of the Bible. Jude and verse number 24. Notice the promise there to every Christian, to you who are saved tonight by the grace of God. It says, "Now unto him," that is Christ, "that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." Job went through many, many trials. He had many heartaches, he had many losses, but the Lord who saved him kept him, brought him through. Job's in glory tonight. And the Lord is one who not only saves his people, he keeps them. And he keeps them on to life eternal. And Christian, this is your great hope. This is your great assurance. Why? Because your life is hedged about by the Lord. He puts a hedge around about his people. Oh, the devil, yes, would want to come and pluck you, as it were, out of the hand of Christ, but he cannot do that. He would seek to attack you. If he could, he would take away your salvation. He would rob you of your salvation. But that is something that the devil can never do. Turn over to John's Gospel, please, and the chapter number 10. John's Gospel, chapter number 10. And look with me, please, at verse number 28 and verse number 29 of John chapter 10. And here Christ is speaking about his people, whose life is hedged about by the Lord. And he says, "I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." If you look carefully at that word "man" there in your Bible, you'll see that that word "man" there is in the italics. In other words, it's not in the original. Our translators have just put it in there to help convey the sense of the verse. And you could rightly read that verse, "Neither shall any," not just man, but all the powers of hell, all the powers of darkness, all the powers of the devil himself, "shall not pluck any of God's people out of the hand of Christ." Verse 29, it says, "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man," again you'll see the word "man" there is in italics. In other words, no power on earth, no power in hell itself, is able to pluck or to rob the believer out of the Father's hand. Oh, Christian, be encouraged tonight. As you seek to live for the Lord, witness for Christ, to represent Christ here on earth, in your home, in your workplace, in your community, in the society around you day by day, wherever the Lord leads you, the Lord guides you. Go forward day by day with this confidence that the Lord is one who has put a hedge around about you. What a blessed place to be in, to be surrounded by the hedge of God, to be protected by God, to be precious to the Lord, to have the Lord of glory watching over you, the one who neither slumbers nor sleeps, the one who has promised in Psalm 121 to preserve you in your going out, and then you come again. If you're listening in tonight and you're on save, let me say this, that if you are to experience and know the Lord's saving and keeping power in your own life, then the Word of God makes it very clear, as a repentant sinner, you need to come by faith to Christ. You need to trust in Him and rest in His atoning work, His atoning sacrifice on the cross alone for your salvation. This is what the Bible commands you to do. It says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." If you're unsaved, God commands you to repent, to seek the Lord, to trust in Christ for salvation. And the Bible says of the Lord, He is able to save to the uttermost. Again, that word "uttermost" means forever, for eternity. "All that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them." Is it your desire tonight to be saved, to be delivered from the wrath to come? Then come to Christ. Trust Him. The Bible says, "But as many as received Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Trust Christ. Look to Him. He will save you by His grace and by His power for time and for all of eternity. Thank you for tonight for listening. May God bless His word to your heart. I'll meet you tonight through His word at the very point of your need. Just before we close in prayer, I'd like to share just a few prayer requests with you. Do please pray for the services over the weekend. Pray for God's blessing upon them and the church reopening again on the Lord's Day, that would know a gracious sense of the presence of the Lord, that the Lord would draw near, that the Lord would be in the midst of His people as we gather around God's Word. Do pray for the sick and the bereaved connected with us, those that have suffered loss in recent times. Pray that they'll be comforted of God, and those connected with us who are ill, that the Lord will touch them and raise them up. Do remember our missionaries tonight. at home and abroad. Remember, you could especially remember those laboring in the land of Uganda. Pray for them that God would bless them and watch over them and protect them. And again, remember the situation regarding the virus in the land. Pray that this pandemic would be stayed, that even the vaccine would be able to be rolled out quickly. Pray that God will give wisdom to our government, and that those who have suffered loss will be comforted, and those who are ill, that they will know God's healing hand upon them for good in the days that lie ahead. But just unite our hearts together in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for Thy presence with us around the Word of God. And Father, we thank Thee for this great truth, that Thou art one that puts a hedge around about Thy people. Help us, each one who are saved, to confide in the Lord and His help, His power, His strength, His protection day by day. Help us, Lord, even in the trials of life, to remember that Thou art sovereign, that Thou art in control, that Thou art working out all things for good in our lives. And Lord, just protect us and keep us from the wiles of the devil in these days in which we live. Help us to honor Thee in all our ways. For Thou said, them that honor Me, I will honor. Help us, Lord, to be good witnesses for Thee, Lord, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods. Lord, wherever Thou would lead us and guide us, we thank Thee that we can rest, Lord, upon Thee, and that by our life and by our testimony, others might be directed to the Lord. For any listening in tonight, online, unsaved, speak to them. Lord, this night may they repent and be converted. May they seek the Lord for salvation. Know what it is to be saved from the wrath to come. Bless our meetings here over the weekend, Lord. We commit them all to Thee. We pray for a real sense of the presence of God in the midst. How we think of the early New Testament church, how it says they preached the Word and the Lord working with them confirmed the Word with signs following. May it be so here this Lord's Day in the Sunday school, the Bible class, the children's meeting, the youth meeting, and on the services morning and evening on the Lord's Day. Lord, visit this house with salvation. Gather in the people. Bless the saints of God as they would gather. Bring in visitors and strangers and passers-by. And Lord, visit this house, Lord, we pray, with Thy salvation. Remember, Lord, those that are ill at this time on our congregation, touch them, raise them up. Those that are bereaved, comfort their hearts, we pray. And we pray likewise that Thou will bless our missionaries across the world tonight, meet their every need. Remember, Lord, those laboring for Thee, especially in the land of Uganda, protect them, watch over them, and encourage them, and meet their every need, and strengthen their hand in God. Again, Lord, we pray for Thy restraining hand upon this pandemic. We pray, undertake even in the rolling out of this vaccine in our land and in our nation. Give wisdom to all concerned. Give healing to those that are ill with this virus. And Lord, may they know a recovery from the Lord. And that, Lord, those who have suffered loss, give them great comfort. And may they look to Thee in their time of need. Remember even those that are medical services. Grant Thy protecting hand upon them. And bless them and be with them also in their need. So, Father, take of our thanks for Thy presence with us. Until we meet again, Lord, as Your people around the Word of God, we pray that the blessing of the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, will be our portion. Amen.